It's the Dr. Future Show with your host, Dr. and Mrs. Future. Stand by.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Happy rainy Future Tuesday. And Mrs. Future, happy, happy.
Happy, happy. Oh, yes. I'm really riding that wave right now.
I tell you.
Doing my best. Little tangy tangerine, little pollen burst, and Future Tuesday. What could be better than that?
Yeah. Well, and thank you, Jason, for that great intro.
Yeah, we have had a little surprise there. No Dave Michaels today, but the very wonderful Jason at the wheel.
Okay, let's see. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, what comes to mind was the A&P conference this weekend that we attended up in Marin.
Architects of the New Dawn.
No, Paradigm. Architects of the New Paradigm.
That's true. Silly
You're thinking
me.
Of Bringers of the New Dawn, that classic New Age book.
Perhaps
from the 90s.
Perhaps I am, but right? For some reason I just like saying it. But yeah, Architects of the New Paradigm.
Right.
Paradigm. Which, of course, was one of the founding members and speakers was Danny Sheehan, our very own Danny Sheehan, founder of the New Paradigm Institute, now known as the Romero Institute.
Yes, here in Santa Cruz.
Really a very dedicated philosopher looking for what's next for this modern world that we're living in.
Yes, yes. He, Foster Gamble, a local, and Kimberly Gamble.
Of the Thrive.com.
Right. George Norrie was there. Catherine Austin Fitz.
One of my favorite financial advisor analysts.
Richard Dolan and Joel Garbin.
Oh, right. Two men with information about disruptive technology that we all can count on that's going to make the oil economy forever obsolete.
Yeah, Joel really opened up my eyes to some of the possibilities there. I mean, when you hear alternative energy, you think, well, let's see. It's not coal. It's solar and it's wind power, mostly. What do you think of when you think of alternative energy, right? Mm-hmm. But he was bringing up things like magnetic motors, solid-state energy converters, sonofusion approaches, plasma fusion, water fuel technologies, thermoelectric energy chips, very exotic stuff.
Right. Were they using the phrase over-unity devices?
Zero-point energy via the Casimir effect.
Mm-hmm.
That was used.
Right.
Crystal energy converters. Some of these have more validity than others, I might add.
Yeah.
Exotic vacuum objects.
Exotic vacuum
ties
objects.
The Casimir effect, yeah.
Right, okay.
Pulsed plasma energy converters was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that sounds like it could get
Never
us
mind
off
the new hydrogen stuff and waste energy processes.
Right. And of course, those technologies, Foster Gamble had the crucial difference for people who were saying, oh, yeah, right, new energy, it's bogus. He said that the way to analyze energy potential is whether or not the original source is a universal source or not. So if you're dealing with a closed source energy commodity, like a tank of gas, then of course you're looking for you can't get more out than you put in. But if your source of energy is coming from something infinite in the universe, i.e. the sun or a black hole or the natural momentum of atoms as they go through various energy states.
Well, I think Tesla said it best when he said that we live in a sea of energy.
That's right.
And if you sort of diffuse your thinking about energy and think of everything around you as energy, even matter is condensed energy.
There you go.
Then you begin to see how everything is interplaying with everything else, and you might see other patterns than the ones you usually pay attention to.
Yeah. So that's the big secret revealed in this conference, is that our global scientists have really made some breakthroughs in figuring out how to harness technology that is really new paradigm stuff.
And it was interesting also about the new energy. Joel Garbin was talking about how he was so excited about all these new forms of energy that he decided to write a bill for the Congress to pay attention to about new energies and how maybe we ought to have our government finance some of this stuff and see what we can come up with. And he did. He put together an outline, a proposal, took it to our senator in Washington, D.C., and found that they really couldn't help him because he didn't have a constituency.
He was Canadian, right?
No. He was talking about plasma energies and things like that. Well, even solar and wind and certainly coal and oil all have special interest groups that support their cause. Mm-hmm. It's constituencies. They call them constituencies.
Well, it's interesting
and
that you...
They had them, but New Energy did not.
New Energy.
We don't have
people who vote for New Energy.
No. It's a new paradigm. It's not something that's part of the existing infrastructure for making things happen.
There's nobody who has a job in New Energy yet.
Not yet. No. What we have are a few books and some people collecting the data. And equally as important, if not more so, are the actual inventors who are coming up with these ideas and are trying to promulgate them, get them out there in the world.
One thing about the conference this weekend, speaking of this, of course, on this station with this audience, everybody knows how much duress inventors of new technology have had to endure over the last few decades. And the consensus was that the world is going towards open source, and our future is going to be disrupted by the fact that the new economy is going to be made of 7 billion, 8 billion cell phones. And
all connected to each other, which form a global network of humanity, which will take its own form.
Yes, and does not lend itself to centralized control and does lend itself to individuals forming groups of trust and special interest and, as Catherine Austin Fitz likes to say, conspiracies. If you're not already in a conspiracy, make one of your own, because the idea of different people working together to achieve their own self-identified self-interests is where the new innovations are going to come from. And the new economy is going to be based around that kind of unit.
Yes, so, hence the name Thrive. Because when the right people meet each other and get together, then you have something that thrives.
Right. So, folks, we're going to go to a break, but if you want to call in and talk with us today about new energy and about the future of energy, technology, economy, lifestyle.
All before the second hour, because the second hour we're going to get into CES, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's big. That's big this year.
So we're talking about new paradigms for the first hour and new cool technology from CES for the second hour with our guest, Greg Panos. It's going to be a great day here on Future Tuesday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I got to mention this story from the world of biomedicine in the MIT Technology Review to our links page. You can find these things. Companies aim to make drugs from bacteria that live in the gut. Isn't that cool? So, relatively new discoveries about the role of the microbiome in human health have sparked a race to develop new therapies based on these microbes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been big fans of the microbe universe for many, many years here, and this article really is taking advantage of the fact that we're kind of just meeting those little tiny microbes that live 10 to 1 in our bodies, and without which life would not be possible.
That's right. There are 10 times as many microbes in our bodies as there are human cells, and they're not just sitting there. They're all doing stuff, doing things that we barely understand at this point. Very complex metabolic processes going on that interact with our cells, creating some kind of larger network that we're just beginning to decipher.
Worlds within worlds.
But we're beginning to get some handle, and there are GI problems. We were able to zero in on this world because we have things that go wrong with us, like you have GI issues, for example.
Gastrointestinal.
And one such problem, which occurs when a very common species of bacteria, it's called the Clostridium difficile.
Wow, good job.
Difficile.
Your Latin's getting better.
Thank you. This is a bacteria that colonizes the gut and becomes abundant really quickly. In other words, we can have too many of them.
it likes being in that anaerobic environment.
Yeah.
Where things turn brown.
And we cure this by adding good bacteria to the digestive tract.
But, it's a disease.
Yeah, but, well, no, they get out of control, you know, so you got to keep them in balance. But the method of doing so requires a transplant of another person's digestive bacteria.
Well, what did people do before that was possible?
Well, I don't think we were hardly aware of the microbiome before, tell you the truth. I mean, look, you know, it was War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells, science fiction 100 years ago that we started to become aware of, oh, microbes, they have an effect on us in a big way. And we mostly saw them as predators to our system. Mm-hmm. You know, they were stealing our energies and or eating our food and kill them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's antibiotics, man. Hit them hard. But the reality is that they're a very complex ecosystem. Sometimes they lose control of their system. But when it's working, we are happy. Mm-hmm. Right? When it's not working, we're not happy.
Right. And so this is kind of like the end of the line in the digestive tract.
Yeah.
And the bacteria that's in there is working with the food that hasn't already been ingested up the line. So the ability to fight bacteria in that zone is going to be dependent on the probiotics that are alive there.
Yeah, and one of the ways of getting the good stuff into your system, or say if you're fat, to get a healthier biome, if you will, would be to get the biome of a skinny person and have that imported into your gut.
Because obviously the skinny person's guts are working way better than the fat person's guts.
Well, yeah, because the colonies eat. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they pull your chain and they create it so that you want to eat more sugar and stuff like that, and which isn't necessarily good for you. So if you have the right biome, you're not going to have those cravings as much, which is a lot easier to transplant the biome than it is to change your willpower.
Right. So, yeah, you've taken lately to, like, when you're, like, craving sugar,
yeah.
You kind of are going, well, it's not me, it's my microbiome, right?
Yeah. I had this big conversation with at the conference on that with Tom Desane, producer for George Norrie. You know, we were talking about willpower versus microbiome stuff, you know, as a, sort of our conversation. So this is definitely up for all of us to think about. Hmm. So you had a caller?
Yeah. Let's say hello. Hello, Jim from Aptos. Welcome
hey, Jim.
To the show. How are you?
Good. Interesting. But my mother is right now in the hospital fighting C. diff.
Hmm.
She's elderly and she came down with it. It usually attacks people who have their flora disrupted by antibiotics. And so, but what happens is it's a bug that can be resident in your gut and it's opportunistic. And the other thing about it that makes it so difficult is the spore-forming bacteria. The spores cannot be killed by disinfectants. It has to be either boiled or it has to have a very strong chlorine bleach in order to destroy it. So it is extremely dangerous around the nursing home where my mother lives and hospitals. She's been on antibiotics in hospital in isolation for a week already, and it's going to be at least another week before she tests negative. Very, very difficult bacteria.
Wow.
Bless your heart. Well, I really say some prayers for your mom. I got a lot of...
It's through all the hospitals now. It's another bacteria that we're fighting. It's just kind of like, MERS and all these other things that are attacking us now because of overuse of antibiotics. And
we've been killing the microbiome and not necessarily knowing how we're affecting the whole ecosystem of life.
Yeah, we didn't realize that the antibiotics were killing the good stuff, too.
Actually, I do believe, and I think we'll find out more, that the microbiome has its own immune system that keeps it balanced. And when we kill part of the microbiome, we're taking out its immune system, and it's weaker, and therefore it makes us weaker in the process by having these new forms of microbes that aren't healthy for us grow.
So I have a friend who has ulcerative colitis. So what he's taking is he's taking this stuff that's called BSL-3, I believe it's called, VSL-3, and what it is, it's a pill with a very, very structured probiotic bacteria that's designed to get through the acid part, the top part of your gut, and get all the way down into his colon. And he's now got a very, very regulated biome. His flora is custom-made now. So he has had no problems at all with colitis ever since he did that, except that it's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
That's the thing about medical technologies. They're very expensive.
Well, yeah. What they're finding with some of these new treatments is that the getting the flora from someone else is the easiest approach, and that's not so expensive.
No, but you do have to have a way to get it down into the alkaline side of the gut.
So yeah, past the acidic stomach, right? Yeah.
There is a company that makes something that coats it that is not dissolved in the hydrochloric acid, and it can make it all the way to the alkaline side where it dissolves.
The classic medical approach now are fecal transplants. That bypasses the stomach very nicely.
Yeah, but that's invasive.
Well, in a way, the question to how much you are able to... Well, I think if they develop procedures for this that work well, then it wouldn't be so invasive.
Well, let's develop a procedure for not destroying our microbiomes in the first place by not putting garbage in and then expecting to have to heal from it.
Yeah, and in the future, colonoscopies will also plant the right microbes.
Right.
You know, if they're going to be invasive, you might as well do everything at once.
Your diet dictates what your flora is also. Like people that eat a lot of onions tend to have a much healthier flora.
Sure, because onions decompose to like ammonia, I think, which is kind of alkalizing.
Anyway, it's interesting stuff. Very interesting.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jim. Good stuff.
Yes, thanks, Jim. And Gregory chimes in and says it's not as invasive, no more invasive than a simple enema.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that all of this is really just enema talk. Yeah. This is enema talk, what's happening in your colon.
But the colon is where a lot of these microbes live. And the colonies there, if they're changed so that they support the lifestyle and the type of body you want, then it's more likely to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
It's harder to change those flora through other means.
Yeah. And really, it is a testimonial about antibiotics to really see if you can't approach your health by pumping up your immune system rather than the war mode of like trying to kill it.
Yeah. What is the relationship between the microbiome and your immune system? That's an interesting area.
Yeah.
I bet you it's very deep.
Sure.
And as a journalist, I'd be fascinated to learn more about that.
Yeah. Well, and there is the whole sciencey, chemistry, molecular analysis of it. And then there's the whole new age woo-woo analysis of it, of how much is your body just turning into a chemical factory for your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another whole other area. And also, Gregory says there's a new radio show called Enema Talk. Which I don't know if that's new age or new wave or...
No, I think it's the era that we're in. We're in the composting of the old wisdom, and we're trying to get new wisdom that works better because we all see how our ecosystem is being destroyed by the beliefs of the past. And Krishnamurti, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to get more of it, but we need to change what we're fundamentally doing and how we're seeing it.
So I understand one of the powers of the sisterhood came through this stuff in terms of the past, like the 1400s. Very often people in power, it was mostly a male hierarchy and the women didn't have a lot of power. But one of the ways in which they did have power was through what they called poisons and antidotes. So a woman had both the poison and the antidote, and she could poison someone and get the information she wanted and then give them the antidote if it was right. Mm. And that's how a lot of power games were played at the time. And now what's interesting from a geek's point of view is that the antidote came from giving poison to an animal and then taking the feces of the animal and extracting the antidote from it.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Seeing what's left.
So the animal would process, create the body's response to the poison, which would be the antidote for the human.
Hmm. Well, just even realizing that our bodies are connected and what we eat and what we excrete are...
It's all part of a larger ecosystem.
That's
very dynamic.
Just thinking
and,
that way is
involving microbes.
Much more holistic, much closer to the singularity where... We're not separated from our universe.
And that's the thing. Yeah, it's fascinating. Okay, so we have to go, sweetheart?
Yeah, it's time for us to go to our CBS News Break, and we'll be back with more Dr. Future Show, second hour. Stay on the line if you're calling. Thanks.
This is Alan Lundell, a.k.a. Dr. Future on KSCO Radio. 10 years ago, we bought a house out in Boulder Creek. It was a gamble because we love to be around bandwidth and power. We found the perfect house with incredible view, but no bandwidth or power. I was very despondent. I was reading Wired, and I ran across this Silicon Valley executive who lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and he claimed he had bandwidth. He was getting service from some group called Etheric Networks. So I gave him a call. Etheric put a dish on our roof, and boom, we suddenly had amazing bandwidth. It's been 10 years now. We've been very, very happy with their service.
KSCO Residential Special. Residential service up to 10 megabits per second, symmetric. That's up and down for $85 a month and $199 installation. With guaranteed minimum speeds and uptime, unlike our competitors. Etheric Networks. Call 650-399-4200.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Yeah, fascinating, the whole field of microbiome.
I think, hey, we have somebody who has some intelligent things to say about it online.
Oh, awesome.
Would you like to say hello to Bobby Wild?
Wilder?
Yeah.
Bobby's on, all right. Yes. Yeah, I was thinking we should do a show on the microbiome, right. And one of the persons while I was thinking of having it on in the bathroom just now was Wilder. I was just thinking of him. Is he actually on the line?
He's actually there. Hi, Bobby.
Bobby, hey.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Great. Yeah, I had a friend of mine that her mother went to India and she got the C. diff. And then she came back to California and then she went through a whole series of antibiotics. And then a couple weeks later, she had to go back into the hospital and they did a different round of antibiotics to get rid of that. And then she went back a third time a couple weeks after that. Mm. That's when she told me about this. What I suggested to her was just to take Lactobacillus rhamnosus and Lactobacillus rotari.
Oh, well, slow down a second. Now, what are those two again?
These are two probiotics, right?
Two probiotics? They're,
and they usually come in pairs because if you buy one, they usually come together because they're symbiotically related into the microbiome. So there was studies all over the world about Lactobacillus rotari. It actually secretes rotarin and also hydrogen peroxide. So a lot of these bad bacteria are anaerobic and they don't like oxygen. So the ones that are good for your body actually deal with oxygen a little bit better. And so that's why these probiotics actually are effective against some of these bad ones. That prevented her from having to go get, you know, because they didn't know what to do back then. This was about 2 years ago. And today she says, you know, I saved her life by just suggesting this simple thing from the drugstore. Not even from the drugstore. You can get it at Whole Foods or any.
Let me ask you this, then.
Yes.
Is there a similar type of solution to these killer bugs that they're having in the hospitals?
Yes. In fact, if you have the proper microbiome in your stomach, you can actually deal with a lot of these very rare bacteria that most people can't fend off very well. So I would say the most researched probiotic out there with the most documentation is Lactobacillus rotari. If you just look that up, you'll see that it's very beneficial for your whole immune system. It actually prevents you from, if you're inoculated early, like if you come through the vaginal canal without a cesarean birth and you get breast milk from your mother that has rotari in her body, then you end up not getting things like asthma and allergy-related diseases later on in life. And they did a lot of studies in Poland on this because a lot of people were getting asthma in Poland.
So if you introduce some of those microbial life forms that were around at birth now, would that help someone that has asthma?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. Because I had a friend of mine that he was taking, this guy is, he lifts weights, very well fit, and, you know, rides bicycle long distances, and his wife is a ballerina, and they're very athletic, only 35 years old, and he was getting asthma. And so I told him, why don't you take this rotari? And this was about 10 years ago. So he started taking it every morning, you know, just one pill a day in the morning, and he claims today that he's never had to use his inhaler again. He threw it away. It can be beneficial. And the reason why he got it was he was taking tetracycline for asthma when he was an adolescent. And so he was on antibiotics every day just to cure his asthma.
Yeah, I did tetracycline myself, I think, for acne.
Yeah, exactly. So the interesting research is out of University of North Carolina where they were trying to find out what is the function of the appendix. What they realized is the appendix In other animals, the appendix can be like 6 feet long in grazing animals. And it turns out the appendix holds a lot of the microbiome in a little, well, it's a little cul-de-sac in a protected area. And when you eat wrong kind of foods of different acidity and different things, it might kill off your probiotics, right? But it re-inoculates your lower intestine, and that's where it's it sits there just at the start of your lower intestine, and it re-inoculates your lower intestine.
So the appendix is like so in a sense, the appendix is like a microbiome depot.
Yeah, exactly. But once you take any series of antibiotics, you nuke that little...
Yes, you get rid of your depot. All your Home Depot of spare microbiomes goes out the window.
Right. What you'll notice is a lot of people that get an appendicitis and they go in and they have their appendix removed. Mm. If you look at them, like 2 or 3 weeks earlier, they had gone through an antibiotic series.
Mm. The whole idea that we're getting injured by our medicines, like getting injured by antibiotics, getting injured by vaccines, needing to fix the injury is a new perspective in medicine, right? And of course, here at KSEO, we're all big advocates of the longevity vitamin line and really eating healthy and not doing those kinds of system-changing techniques. So I just appreciate the talk about the restorative of things like your microbiome, things like your probiotics, to really think about holistic health and holding our living systems as living systems that we shouldn't just be trying to kill.
I should mention a couple other people that are in the forefront of this. There's a Dr. Gregor Reed, and he's at the Canadian Research and Development of Probiotics and Professor of Microbiology and Immunology at the University of Western Ontario.
What's he up to? How's he investigating it?
If you go on the internet and you just Google him, you know, he has a series on Lactobacillus rotari and Lactobacillus rhamnosus, and he's worked with Jarrow's. He's speculating that in your gut, because of candida, which is a fungus that's normally found in people that eat a lot of carbohydrates and sugars and things.
Yeah, candida cleanses. I think we've all been through those.
It's a fungus, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that this candida albicans actually produces a biofilm that coats your intestinal lining. Hmm. And so it actually prevents a lot of nutrients from passing through the intestines into your bloodstream. So,
Like it's collecting the nutrients for itself instead of giving them to us, that sort of thing?
What he's suggesting is, again, if you take Lactobacillus rhamnosus, it actually strips that microbiome.
Oops.
And I also found that coconut oil is also antifungicide and antibactericide, and it also will help kill off the candida. I did those cleanses and Party Arco, the Brazilian bark stuff, and I don't know, that didn't work for me, but I found that coconut oil and this rhamnosus was much more effective. There's also research that there's a gut-brain connection. If you Google Dr. Elaine Hsiao from Caltech, she's been researching the microbiome, and she found that Lactobacillus rhamnosus actually... there's a connection between it and the vagus nerve to the brain, and it actually changes your behavior for depression and also for satiety, like how hungry you are.
Interesting.
And so she suggesting that, yes, if you just have these right probiotics in your guts, you'll end up eating less, you'll be much happier. And actually, 80 to 90% of all the serotonin in your body is actually produced in the gut. And it cannot get to the brain correctly unless you strip off this biofilm.
Fascinating stuff, Bobby. You are such a well-read wealth of information. Really appreciate that.
The microbiome can really affect basic things then, like our emotional well-being experience, how happy we are, our hunger levels. That's pretty primal, which suggests that maybe they've been working on us for a very long time, evolutionarily speaking. Wouldn't you say?
And, you know, one other thing. Oh, about the biome.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
when you're comparing the bark to the oil, I think that tells you something fundamental about the ecosystem there, that it likes things it can dissolve in oil better than it likes scraping things with bark, you know?
Yes, that's very interesting.
Do you think we have to need to create a microbiome for our robots? But that's another topic.
Hey, Bobby, feel free. Can you hang on even after the break? We have to go to a break. And if you,
you
have more to share?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, folks, you're listening to the Dr. Future Show while we think about microbiome ecosystems.
With Bobby Wilder.
With Bobby Wilder. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Bobby Wilder about the microbiome. Bobby, I believe we have another caller on the line here. Would you hold on and see if we have any questions for you?
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks.
It's Colonel Terry, who having on the show. Let's say hi to Colonel Terry.
Always has an intelligent question.
Colonel Terry, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm intelligent, but your wife is brilliant.
Well, she is a strange attractor. I'll give her that.
Oh, and I've said this before.
Occasionally lucky with what I'm paying attention to.
In a good way.
Mrs. Future proves, as I've said before, a girl can be both beautiful and highly intelligent.
Yeah, that's true. There's hope for us all.
I love our love affair, Colonel.
Are you referring? Let's not tell your husband about it.
Okay, but he's pretty alert. I think he might be aware.
Not that last party. Okay. All right. Well, do you have any questions about the microbiome for our guest?
The energy program you're referring to, was that the presentation up at UCSC I missed this year?
No, it wasn't. It was actually up in Marin at the Embassy Suites Hotel in San Rafael. Sorry, not Marin, San Rafael. It was produced by a lot of local talent in terms of Foster Gamble and his wife. And
Kimberly.
And also...
And Bobby was there, too. I saw...
Yeah, Bobby Wilder came.
Yeah.
Who's on the line with us now.
Yeah.
Five people, et cetera.
Yes.
And what was the name of it?
It was called the Architects for the New Paradigm Conference, ANP Conference. They were promising to post all of the talks on their website for the attendees, so conceivably they're for sale if you wanted to listen to the presentations. I thought they were really stimulating, really bright.
Yeah, very Daniel Sheehan, one of our local national lawyers, spoke very well about this.
Well, what did Danny have to say from a legal perspective? Are we suddenly going to get the government to declare we should all live environmentally ethically?
Well, you know, Danny, he's a boomer, and he's very optimistic that what's going on globally right now is sort of a discredited power structure, and it's kind of a free-for-all, and he's hoping that the good people of our time will step up and become the new adults in charge of the power. You know, that's kind of where he's at. He really believes that it's not too late for us to wake up and use the tools of our Constitution and the wisdom of the Founding Fathers to save ourselves from the brink of disaster.
All right, so the whole conference is Architects for the New Paradigm, got something, probably, and you think it's available to download.
Yeah, well, ANPconference.com.
That's right, ANP. Alpha November
Papa.
Papa, right.
Okay.
Charlie now, Ocean yes, November.
All right, so you were focusing on that, the first part of the program, and then Mr. Wilder was on, who was superb to know about on probiotics. What I do is I pop different varieties of them, as I know other people do, to make sure I'm getting the right one.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's all kind of like, what is my body calling for today? Hit or miss a little bit, right?
Hit or miss chemistry, we call it.
I usually get the ones, you know, that are 7 or 9 or more different probiotics, different bugs in the pill. And then when my stomach is upset, the least little bit, there's a thing called Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N, in green bottles at Staff of Life and New Leaf, et cetera, and Whole Foods. N-A-T-R-E-N, Natren, and it has cured any upset stomach or early flu symptoms like within an hour or three. Mm. Are you familiar with that?
What do you say, Bobby?
No, I haven't heard. Have you heard of stuff for the common cold in the microbiome world, Bobby?
Not for the cold, but for an upset stomach. In World War I, and World War II, the Japanese Army and Navy were looking for something to cure dysentery. And what they went and found was they prescribed actually eating natto. And natto is fermented soybeans. And the story about natto is, in feudal times, you know, there would be these samurai battles between feudal lords. And one of the cooks was trying to cook some soybeans. And the battle was raging on. And so he just wrapped it up in some straw and took it to, and after the battle was over, you know, looked at this stuff. And he noticed that there was some, that the cooked soybeans had had this kind of gooey, stretchy film to it, and actually ate it. And it turns out that, again, the bacillus, it's called a natto-bacillus, what they call it. It actually is very important for the body to produce vitamin K2. So it turns out that there's a couple other things that you can take that can produce vitamin K2. So how it's produced is vitamin K1 is found in all green, leafy, vegetable kind of stuff. But in order to make it to vitamin K2, which is so important for your body, I'll explain later, what the bacillus does is actually combines two K1s to make a vitamin K2. And there's several versions of K2. There's the menekinone K4, and which has a half-life of only like 6 hours in the bloodstream. And then you have menekinone K7, which is the longer protein chain of K1s. So that has a half-life of 11 or 12 or 24 hours in the bloodstream.
Now, are
so
they, that's are they, the, Bobby, how about living organisms? Are these a part of these living organisms that we're eating?
Yes, that's right. So I would suggest, in order to get to resolve your stomach and actually get it to produce vitamin K2, you can just eat natto. You know, like, if you just take a spoonful a day, apparently it's much more effective than taking two or three capsules of vitamin K2.
So fermented soybeans, do you mean like miso paste, or do you mean like soy, you have to go and get natto itself?
Well, miso paste is very interesting because they found that there's, even though when you cook miso and you make miso soup, a lot of the bacteria are dead, but even when the bacteria are dead, there's beneficial effects. But the natto itself is actually alive, and you're actually inoculating your intestines with that.
Yeah, see, that's what's interesting to me, is the fact that we're consuming living organisms that interact with our own ecosystems.
Yeah, it defies the idea of the food chain, because it's sort of like what we're doing is inviting inhabitants of our inner ecosystem, and we're not exactly eating them so much as we are housing them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I also just got a note from Gregory about a video that's online from Joey Ito on gut bacteria. So it's getting out there.
Yeah, so why don't we post that on the links page tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, when we archive the show, we'll post some of these cool links for you.
And that's interesting about the Japanese culture and embracing this as well, and your history of that is, you have Japanese heritage in your ancestry, right?
Yes, my mother and, yeah, my grandfather was, he was actually a major general in World War II, after, you know, toward the end of the war.
On the Japanese side?
On the Japanese side, yes. Mm. But anyway.
Yeah, back to the microbiome here.
So it turns out that a lot of autoimmune diseases are actually caused by leaky gut. And the leaky gut, again, when you have the biofilm, it actually causes leaky gut. And so what really goes on in your system is, when you have leaky gut, a lot of compounds and bacteria float right into the bloodstream. And then your immune system says, oh my gosh, we're overwhelmed by these things that shouldn't be here.
Wow.
And so it just kind of shuts down your immune system and says, okay, don't do anything right now. Just hold off. And when things get better, we'll do something.
Because it's
later.
Getting all these new molecules that are hitting it hard and taxing its ability to take them out.
Right. So then there's actually, it's part of your T cells. They actually, it's like a database, and it remembers the surface protein coating of these things that it had previously recognized before. And then about 5 to 10 years later, your immune system says, oh, you know, this myelin sheath that's wrapping your nerves, it kind of looks like the thing that we saw in the bloodstream before, and we'll go attack it. And so what happens is these killer T cells go after, and they actually produce necrosis factor, and they actually start eating away at the myelin sheath. And that's how you get multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
Or let's say you get rheumatoid arthritis. So again, there's these, it's the wrappings of the tendons in your joints. Again, your body falsely identifies parts of your own body and starts attacking it.
Yeah, the autoimmune thing is amazing and how it happens.
Yes.
But we should do a whole show just talking about some of these ideas.
Mm.
So, Bobby, we're running out of time right now, but
let's
do another show in the future. I'd love to get you on with Ben Fuchs also. I think the two of you together.
Yes. Ben's a great guy. I loved meeting him there.
Yeah, a little group mind on the air, I think, would stimulate our audience, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well,
one final thing.
How do we get in touch with you, or what's the best way to check your perspective out?
It's just bobbywilder@gmail.com.
Okay.
And
bobbywilder@gmail.
Yeah, that's the best way.
Okay.
I have dyslexia, so I'm not really good at responding very fast, but I'll get to you sometime, yes.
Okay, good.
Thanks,
Bobby. Appreciate your
call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Bye-bye. Thanks, you too, Colonel Terry. I hope you got some new valuable information for you there.
We'll follow it up.
All
okay,
right,
stay well, beautiful.
Thank you. Take care. You too. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we'll be back with another hour of the Dr. Future Show right after the traffic, weather, and some more CBS News, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.